Coldplay was just in town. We recorded it. Isn't this Coldplay?
Wasn't it during one of the big lightning storms?
Yeah. Kevin, why are you looking at me so strangely?
I think that was a remix, but yes, that was Coldplay.
Oh.
Coldplay did some remixes while they were in town.
Well, we're speaking of music today with Dr. John Duffy, clinical psychologist, certified life coach, parenting and relationship expert, proud husband and father, and The Available Parent is a great book to read. Hi, John.
Hi.
Oh, it would help if I turned your microphone on.
That'd be nice.
See, Bill goes away and all hell goes
no.
Everything goes crazy. So Coldplay was just in town at Soldier Field.
Yes.
And Pitchfork was in town and I took my son Michael to see Brian Wilson.
Right? Man, how cool.
I got to tell you, there was a beautiful moment. He's 17 years old and I said, oh, I got tickets to go take you to see Brian Wilson. And he goes, okay, well, I'm going to go with a friend of mine. I said, well, I kind of got him through work, so he kind of got to go with me. Oh, okay, well, that's fine. And I said, are you sure you're cool with that? He goes, absolutely. It's just, you know, when push came to shove, he wasn't going to go with a friend because that would require arranging things, who's going to drive. So we went there. We had a great time. I had purchased this Help Me Rhonda shirt from Etsy that Brian Wilson wore on an album cover. And there was a picture of Brian Wilson wearing this. So Michael's like, I have to have this shirt. So we're standing around in a crowd of people. There were some 20-year-olds next to us who were singing every word as Brian did Pet Sounds. There were mainly older people, my age and older. And at the end of doing Pet Sounds, Brian Wilson played Help Me Rhonda. And everyone that we were standing around turned around, looked at Michael, pointed at his shirt, and high-fived him.
Wow.
I got goosebumps. I know that's like, it sounds ridiculous. But to me, that music brings people together.
This is the indelible stuff that we ignore in families a lot of the times. So this is how we build resilience, is by having a good time together. And nothing's better than music, right? Nothing's better than sharing music. There's a family I worked with about 8 or 9 years ago. Father and his 17-year-old son can't get along for anything. And at some point, they argue about music more than anything else. And at some point, the dad has this brainstorm. Not my idea, dad's. That, okay, I'll go to one of your concerts, but then you're coming to one of mine. And these guys, for the last decade or so, have been trading concerts back. So this dad has seen Kanye and Chance the Rapper, and this kid has seen Fleetwood Mac and Springsteen, and they debate it, and it's like, it's their connection. It's their thing. They still argue like crazy about almost everything.
But it's brought them together.
Yeah, it's their connection.
Well, music is one of those things that kind of transcends so many different, whether it's art or food or, you know, and music is definitely in there. I think this is maybe the first generation where music isn't a divisive thing in a lot of ways with the youth, because it used to be like, oh, those crazy kids and their loud music. Now you're looking at bands, and this had not happened before, that were part of that cool rock and roll generation, you know, or the Beach Boys, just making music that is undeniably awesome,
right,
and perpetual. So that's where you see like a Paul McCartney at, I don't know, 80, right, playing with the Rolling Stones.
He's not 80 yet.
Almost.
Mick is, what, 73 and going to be a father again for the 8th time.
But that music is still, and those concerts still, I mean, and so that's where you can get these generations where you have crowds with kids that are in their teens, you know, and people that are up there and enjoyed them the first time around.
Right. And so you get kids at Lollapalooza last year who are seeing, you know, 22-year-old kids in bands, and then they'll walk over and look at, you know, 75-year-old Paul McCartney.
They looked at him.
Yeah, they'll at least look at him, yes. And they'll say, I saw a Beatle one day.
And see, something, and, you know, maybe I'm just tooting my own horn as being a cool parent, but I think, you know, I'm 50-ish, and people our age, we went to those concerts. We went to see Springsteen.
Yeah.
We went to see Blondie and Pretenders. So we like to rock. So when we take our kids to a concert, you're right. There's no, it's no divisiveness. Because our parents, yeah, oh, I loved listening to Elvis records, or Rosemary Clooney was very special. But, you know, we actually are still going to concerts. We went as a whole family to see Van Halen because my son Dylan is starting to drum. Thought that's a great drummer to show him how. And, you know, no one was like rolling eyes at us. We got high fived because people said, oh my God, look at this family's here together.
And I actually think, honestly, your family is a really good model for this, because not only, if I understand the Snyder McInerney family well, you guys not only listen to music together, but you'll play music together and you'll sing music together. And that even more so makes you more resilient and more connected. You've got something to kind of fall back on if something goes wrong, you know?
That's totally true.
Yeah.
Music brings people together. Lollapalooza, yesterday we had Dr. Nina Fieri in, I think that was her name. I just know she was a pediatrician and works in the ER at Lurie Children's Hospital. And they were doing drunk drills because there are kids going to Lollapalooza every time there's an event. Pitchfork, honestly, was mostly older people.
Right.
But this was the first time I've been to a concert where I had to open my purse. They would pull out items of my purse, like my makeup bag, and they'd say, here, open this in front of me. Here, here's your wallet. Open it in front of me. Because kids are sneaking things in and linings of their purse or backpacks.
Or underwear or other places.
And they don't pat you down. That's
right,
true.
Right. And so, you know, I think we have to be particularly vigilant as parents, because for a lot of us, this is our kids' first concert experience. And it's not like you go to something that's 2 hours long or 3 hours long. This is a 4-day extravaganza. And so you have to talk to them a little bit about, you know, what you're going to witness and what you need to be careful of. And we can't have our heads in the sand about that.
Can we continue on that? We're going to take a quick break. And what, as a parent, can you talk to your kids about to prepare them for Lollapalooza? 312-981-7200. Bill Leff is off for the rest of the week, enjoying some time off. Dane Neal in his place. Dr. John Duffy with us. I'm Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. Lollapalooza is going on this weekend, an extra day of the madness, because what anniversary is it?
25th. Might be 25, yeah.
Don't you know these things, Dane? I count on you.
Well, they've kind of had starts and stops. You know, they've had some where it was around and then it was gone for like 5 years, and then it became a residency here. And yeah, I've got a hat from 2 years ago. Says 10 years. I know it's longer than that, so I'm not sure how they're keeping track.
All right, well, an extra day. It's the 20th, I guess. It's an extra day of 25th. Kevin, you can just say it on the air or keep confusing me.
30th. No, I'm just kidding. It's 25th.
You are fired. All right. Anyway, so kids are going to Lollapalooza. Dr. John Duffy is with us today. And I think my kids haven't gone by themselves unescorted, and they haven't asked yet. But when that day comes, what do I do?
You know, it's a tricky thing, because every year this time I get a bunch of referrals. And sometimes this is the primary thing parents want to talk about, is do I let my kid do this? I feel like it's risky. I feel like it's dangerous. And my bias is usually, it's a little bit of a rite of passage here in Chicago. So my bias is usually like, oh yeah, let your kid go, but really be clear with them about what the risks are and what they're going to see, so that they're not shocked, because I think there are some shocking sights of people who are on drugs. And
I'm shocked when I see it, and I've seen it several times in my life.
Yeah,
you know, so not personally, but you see it around. It's scary.
And you know, sometimes kids don't think all this stuff through, and they think everybody's got good intentions. So you have to tell your kid, don't take anything that's handed to you. Don't take anything that's open. You know, there are certain rules that these days you really need your kids to follow, so that they can really just enjoy the time.
As a parent, I know that coming up to Lollapalooza, it's impossible to probably do this before it gets to this weekend. But for those people that may be thinking into the future, maybe some kind of primer, because you're right. It is a rite of passage. They're going to come. Their friends are going
to
go. It's going
to be scared to go to it.
It's going
to
be a band. It's going to be a band they care about. And you want them to do it in small bites, because the scary thing about Lollapalooza, and my summer job growing up, end of high school, college, was, you know, I worked at Alpine Valley Music Theater. And so we had festival, you know, the days of Grateful Dead's. I've worked like the Who tours and the Motley Crue and every single thing that would come through. And you would see just different versions of a lot of the same stuff that would be concerning, you know, now as a parent. But
sure.
Lollapalooza, and you're right, we talked about it off the air. It is all day and all night. It is usually really, really hot. And so it's not, you know, a 2 hour window, you know, where you're watching, you know, Bon Jovi open up for the Scorpions.
Right.
Right.
This is a commitment.
This is all day. And so you can make more and more bad decisions, and then have all those environmental factors kind of kick in.
Absolutely. You know, I sometimes think that the best bet is if you've got a 15, 16, 17 year old, this is their first concert, not to buy a 4-day pass, but to buy a 1 or 2-day pass and let them kind of ease their way into it. Or to your point, Dane, I think is, you know, if you're thinking ahead to Lollapalooza, you know, 2 years from now, bring your kids to concerts now. Get them used to the environment. Get them used to seeing a show and, you know, what's appropriate and what's not, and behaviorally and otherwise.
Well, you mentioned the environment, and Lollapalooza is also a unique situation just because of the extended period of the time, the practical nakedness, all the different bands and so many other things. I thought that since I'd grown up doing this, been to concerts, you know, a rock and roll fan forever, that this was kind of my element, right? But I think I've gotten soft, you know, because a couple of years ago, we got through one of the distributors, we got some of the VIP passes. So we're getting to watch, you know, Eminem from a riser while we enjoy, you know, craft cocktails. It is different. And so when we wanted to walk through to go see something else, and so the security guys let us out. It was kind of like a zombie apocalypse movie because they had people guarding the gates. They opened all right, they're going out. And then it was like, you know, everyone was naked and jumping and falling into each other. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not sure I'm still built for this. And so
it is. And Lala for sure is the rite of passage. It is a young person's concert because like Alpine Valley, you need a ride out there if you don't drive. And that's really far. Some of the other venues are far. This, you can take a train in. You can have parents drop you off.
And culturally, for kids, it means so much to them, right? There's this opportunity to see, like, all these bands you've been talking about all year. So that, you know, I am reluctant to take that away from kids just because it's this massive rite of passage. And they talk about it all year long.
So many different bands are playing at the same time. Is this a possible suggestion, Wendy brought up, a connection going to a concert where you can find a couple bands? Because it really spans, like, the whole musical landscape, from the hottest thing that's right now to like legendary acts,
right?
Is maybe go yourself, you know, but don't necessarily like hang out with them the whole time, but say like, hey, you're gonna go check out this band, I'll be over here, so at least you'll be on site. I mean, is that maybe a smart thing
to do? A little insider information. I know a lot of teenagers, and out loud they would say the last thing I want is my mom or dad there, but really they don't mind the safety of that. You know what I mean? As long as you're not hovering and helicoptering over them, the idea that you are somewhere here, in the giant park. Yes, we can meet back here if I feel unsafe for a moment. It's really a sound idea. I like it a lot.
All right. Already we have a judgy text, and I have to bring this up because this is how people are these days. What parent would allow their kids to go to Lollapalooza? The ones who don't know their kids are out at 2 a.m. First of all, I can't go to sleep till my kid's home.
Right.
And so I know he hasn't been out till 2 yet, but I mean, I would know.
Right.
Don't most parents kind of wait for their kids to come home before they can lock the front door and turn off the porch light?
I think most of us, if we're being honest, we're usually up when our kids get home.
Not sitting there, you know, with an Afghan on, staring at the door and tapping your foot on the ground, but you're not in a deep sleep until you know all your birdies are in the nest.
It's an instinct, right? Yep. It's something, and to the judgy point, and not to judge back, but eventually our kids get exposed to just about everything. And you want to be there for some of the initial exposure, right? So this is an opportunity to be there at the end of the night when they come home. How was it? What was it like? What did you see? Anything really weird happen? And, you know, when they're off to college, you don't have that opportunity. So here's this opportunity to, like, talk to them about it and process all of it with them instead of waiting for them to, some kids, hit the wall when they get to college if they've never experienced anything before that.
With Michael is going to be a senior this year. We're thinking about college, and already I'm, you know, tugging back at the strings going, oh, maybe junior college is what you need, because I don't want to let go. He's ready to fly.
Sure.
But I wonder if in this day of texting and everyone having a phone, if the transition is a little easier, because when I went away to Illinois State, you know, you had to use the phone that was in the hallway. It was like prison. If you watch Orange is the New Black, you had to wait for somebody to get off the phone. And I was very homesick. I made it a one semester and then quit.
Right.
So I just wonder, like, you know, if Michael was out doing something at college, or other kids, do they text their parents, oh my God, just ran into Slash in a bar. It was really cool.
As parents, I think you want to set that standard, and you want to set it, you know, while they're in high school, while they're young, that, you know, we're going to connect. We're going to connect once in a while during the day. I think texting in this regard is wildly underrated in families. And the more you do that, the more you inoculate your child from being homesick, and it helps you knowing, okay, they're out there and they're okay. It really makes that transition for parents a lot easier, knowing I can text, I can FaceTime, I can talk on the iPad. And
it's changed things. You might be able to go away to school. I don't know.
Good luck, Michael.
Did you have one final thought on this, Dane?
But it's such kind of a big question, because you know you have some of those parents that are saying, well, they're going to get introduced to this, they're going to encounter this. Well, maybe I should be the one introducing them, or in situations like, obviously you can't be, hey, here's a beer, kid. You know, you're going to see these at Lollapalooza, so you might as well know what that's like.
Although parents do it, Dane. But okay, yes.
But right. what are some of the ways that you can, just being a realist and understanding that this is going to happen? What are some of the ways that you can prepare your child for the kind of things that they're going to not only experience and encounter, but probably like do some of that, and what things should they be watching out for that they
can hear?
You got
30 seconds.
Right.
Go.
Right. Okay. So, broadly speaking, you don't want to protect your child from the real world. So if your impulse is insular, if it's like, you know, I'd prefer my child be home in the basement where they're safe. And I know that the more you bring them out in the world, the more you, push them a little bit to get out in the world, the more resilient they're going to be. Because at the end of the night, they're going to come home and you're going to see that they're competent and resilient. They may have run into a difficulty that night, or something a little traumatic that night, but they've made it through it, you know, and you're able to say on the back end, hey, good job, instead of, we never really did this and we've just been home the whole time.
And, you know, there's nothing wrong when your kid gets home, if you get a little close to him, to give him a hug and kind of sniff to see if they've been drinking or something. That's a parent,
so the
parent
recon
tip.
Hug.
Well, you know, it's just, I've noticed my husband doing that a lot when Michael comes home. And Michael, at this point, has not had any alcohol or drugs. But it's funny because Jim goes in for the hug and he goes, hey, son, how was the night? I hope Michael's not listening because I just gave away one of the tricks.
Well,
but
and here, like, we're, and based on your experiences and even my experiences, like, we're part of that generation of parents that has been through a lot of the same things, whereas, you know, my parents didn't, you know, they didn't do any of this stuff. They didn't know to hug and sniff and, you know,
we know all the tricks because we did all the tricks.
Right. And kids are also, just as a side note, kids are good at taking care of each other as well, better than
Much
we were
better.
A generation ago.
Right.
So that's important to remember.
More compassion.
Too. Yep.
Always a pleasure. And next time you come back, I would like to talk about, you know, do you let your kids drink before they go away to college? Because to me, I kind of learned how on my own. I didn't need a parent to tell me how to do it.
It's a big, dicey question. We'll tackle it.
All right, perfect. Dr. John Duffy, how do people reach you?
Okay, so drjohnduffy.com. You can find my podcast, the Dr. John Duffy podcast at WGN Plus. So check that out as well.
Thank you so much. Quick break, and then we're going to talk to Joe Thomas, who has resurrected Soundstage, and some pretty fascinating guests will be appearing. We'll talk about that after the news, 720 WGN.